Let's start with a little module to introduce you to the general problem of lexical analysis. So what we have already seen in the last lesson, there is a phase in the compiler that is called the scanner. So this is the program component we talk about. What we've also seen is that its input is the raw program code, and the purpose was to create small units of some meaning that we called tokens. So the output would be a stream of such tokens. You might wonder what these might be. So let's have a look at an example. So here we see a typical input. So this is just one linear stream of characters that are unclassified and unmarked or anything, and our scanner is here to chop this stream up into little units of interest that we call tokens. And you see for this particular input that there's a possible tokenization of the whole thing, and of course this follows certain ideas that are already particular to the programming language that you want to translate. So, typical examples for token classes would be, for example, the first thing that you saw over there, this little guy over here, is usually considered to be a name of something, like a name of a variable, a name of a method, or a name of a class, or anything. And those are usually called identifiers. So this is the compiler term for that kind of token, and can be arbitrary things like this XYZ or something meaningful like pi or whatever you'd like. There's also other things that we've already seen here, like this little fellow over here, the 42, which would be like a constant. There's integer constants, there's rational constants, there's some string literal, or that all those are of the kind constant. Another thing that we have seen is here this little fellow here, which is like the arithmetic operation, and conveniently this is called an operator. And yeah, there's a lot more depending on what your programming language of choice offers. Usually you also have some notion of a reserved term that might be, for example, a thing like if or int, depending on what your language offers. Usually those terms don't have one common token class, but each of them separate their own singleton token class in that sense, and are used really not in place of each other, but they have their particular use in their language, and thus they also are they usually are their own token classes. So there you see that the output of the scanner is not just simple chopped up input, but it's merely already the classified stream of tokens. So instead of just plain token values, you get the token values together with their token class as the output. So what I mean is that you get this thing, which is the token value itself, which is this XYZ, together with its token class, which is the identifier here. And the next one would be here the operator value, which is the plus sign, and the actual token class, the operator, and so on. Another purpose of the scanner component is usually quite closely attached to the scanner, which is the so-called siever. So a typical first purpose for a scanner would be to already perform a few transformations or edit operations on the token stream, which you could consider to be some kind of pre-processing before the actual reconstruction of the syntactical structure of your program would be. So here we see a few example applications for that. So in if you write a scanner for a typical programming language that is therefore producing some execution unit to be executed later on a machine, you would usually want to ignore things like spacings or comments, except that you have some funky language that really relies on the amount of spaces that you have in front of some components of a language. But in general, you usually ignore spaces or comments and things. So you want to drop those. And this is a thing that usually can be done already in the scanner phase with a thing like a siever. Other things that you might already collect at the scanner level in the siever component would be the so-called pragmas. So these are like artifacts in your programming language that don't really fit into the actual real language definition, but stand out like little markers in your program that are usually considered to be quick hacks for the compiler, and they are usually collected quite early on in the compilation phase, and this could be, for example, done in the siever. Another really quite common thing is this replacement of tokens of particular classes, of course. So what do I mean with that? For example, you have seen us already using a few constants, and that would be, for example, integer constants. And for an integer constant, it would make a lot of sense not to directly hand over the, as a token value, the pure, the original character sequence and contribute to the integer. But you could already at that phase start to convert this sequence of characters into the actual integer type and just store in an integer like 8 bytes size the actual constant's value. So this can be done for doubles, singles, integers, long ints, whatever you can imagine there. The other thing that is done in this phase is usually that the names that we have talked about for identifiers and all that, they rarely make their way really to the actual program code itself, but usually you encode your handling of names by a facility like a symbol table that keeps track of what names there actually are and map those names to more compact representations of things, so to some small ID in that sense. So usually instead of names, you talk about IDs of things. So if you have like an attribute which is like my beloved integer attribute or something, that would be just cut down to an ID of 3 or something in your translated program. So in the translated program, you wouldn't even see any fancy names anymore, and that is a behavior that you can, for example, observe when you compile your program for debug purposes. These names get conserved. If you compile your program for production purposes, these names are usually optimized away. Instead, the program computes with these abbreviated identifiers. So, yeah. The lexical analysis is carried out by the scanner, we said, and optionally one of these siever components. And in a way that, well, you usually have one engine that detects tokens in the raw input, and in case of that the input contains a particular token that it recognizes, the scanner will then call out into user code, so we'll do a callback action in which the programmer can react to that particular a particular token of that class being recognized. They can access the value of the token as well as the token class and then react appropriately, and thus usually return some kind of compact representation of that token and its token class. Or if you, for example, are in a sieve, you would, for example, also drop a particular thing like a comment or something, or a white space, or you might even convert things like numbers, as we have already seen. So this is done in such a way that there is callback actions which you can then fill in as programmer of the scanner. The scanners themselves that do these callbacks are usually well, you can write such a scanner manually, but if you do so, you will see there's a lot of repetitive tasks involved, like string handling and looking for particular beacon characters on which you react and all that. And you might not want to do something like that manually if you've done a few of those already, but you get rather bored and think, well, it's a repetitive process. Can't I automate that somehow? And that is what is actually really done in this field quite a lot. So instead of programming such a thing manually, you would rather go over to perform a very concise specification of what you want to do. So you have to find some way of describing these token classes somehow. And then you would run some kind of generator on these specifications that would yield an executable programming module, which is then this scanner that will have some kind of black box internally, would detect tokens, and the outside interface would be like these callbacks for each of these token classes, in which the programmer can then put their own code for reacting to such a token being found. And yeah, this is quite a repetitive thing that we'll see throughout compiler construction. For our purpose here, for the scanner generation, the specification actually boils down to a thing that you might remember from theoretical computer science. This would be regular expressions. So you would use one regular expression for each token class as a description of what typical values of that token class might look like. Then you would have a generating component that would be responsible for generating something which is suitable for being executed and has some notion of states in which there would be callbacks available for customizing your scanner. So if you think back at theoretical computer science, regular expressions usually have a corresponding thing which is quite near to a particular machine model, and this would be like finite automata. So it would be a nice idea to use things like finite automata as the concept for the module that is produced by the generator. And we will have a look at how finite automata can be coded quite efficiently in the tutorial, I think. So also, it won't be just pure finite automata. There's also a little bit of additional thing involved in there, but we will see later on. So that is the general setting in which we are now engaged in the next few modules.